coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
You know, if you can't see the writing on the wall, I mean, it's as clear, it's as plain as day right now with respect to censorship. Folks, the truth is being censored every place. Whether it's about the scamdemic, the plandemic, whatever you would like to call it, the so-called novel, which is not novel, coronavirus, the bioterrorist injection that is the solution, purported to be the solution by the globalists. You're not going to be able to talk about that pretty soon. On social media, of course, everything's being censored. Twitter, of course, now has a new CEO. It's going to take censorship to an entirely new level. Facebook is going to be imposing additional draconian measures. Google/Alphabet is going to be taking your search results to an entirely new level in terms of what they want you to see. So this has been one of the roadblocks to internet research, and we have a solution. I am so thrilled to welcome Chris Hoare from Galileo.com. That's Galileo.com. In fact, the link is in the program description box right now. I'm going to talk to him. I asked him to come on because right now we are seeing such a massive push toward the toward censorship. How are we going to circumvent this? How are we going to overcome this, shall we say? Well, there's one way, and again, that's Galileo. And before I bring him on, I want to mention this. There's two steps to this process, to overcoming censorship, please. Now, look, I know so many people walking around with an iPhone out there. I mean, really. Stop it. Because you don't need, really, you shouldn't have one anyway. The solution, this is my solution right here. This is a satellite phone. And you've heard Alex Jones talk about the satellite phone store. Hey, satellitephonestore.com. So, with this device, and there it is on the screen, make sure you go to the link on HagmanReport.com. Click the link. It'll take you to satellite phone store. Get yourself a free satellite phone. It doesn't cost you anything. And then, of course, the plan. It's a monthly plan. It includes minutes and texts and calls. I'm telling you what, it's a great deal. And I have spoken to people whose plans on cell phones are actually more than the plans on satellite phones. So it's incredible. I don't want to beat this to death, but this is the way to circumvent or to overcome, to be victorious over the censorship that's being forced down our throats, the information that's being throttled. If you need information, you need it now. You need reliable information. Step two, Galileo. Again, the link is on the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Galileo, Galileo.com. The man behind Galileo and his vast team is Chris Hoare is with me now. But this is the way to get the messages out. Folks, please, you've got to understand information today is the most important commodity you can buy. Sure, gold, silver commodities, absolutely food. What is it? Bullets and beans, but information. When you need it, as soon as you need it, by way of Galileo.com. Chris Hoare, thank you so much for joining me. I'm just going to bring you on and turn you loose and what's going on, first of all?
Hey, Doug, thanks for having me on, mate. It's good to see you again.
Good to see you as well. You're the man, by the way. You've developed, I got to tell you, folks, this guy, you've got like genius level stuff going on. And I don't know how you do it. I don't know if you sleep. I don't know whatever you're taking, send some my way. But you've developed this amazing system. I've seen it work. I've seen Galileo work. I'm part of it. And I love the instantaneous messaging with this and the information that's not censored or sugarcoated. Go ahead, sir.
Well, Doug, it's great to be back on, mate. And you're so right. What's going on today? I mean, we're seeing Things like client-side scanning being put into phones, where now any file you look at or upload or download is being compared to a known inappropriate or unapproved files. I'm not going to name names, but I think we all know who we're talking about. And it's just getting worse. And here at Galileo, what we want to do is we want to make sure that people can get uncensored, unedited information from the sources that they trust. You know, it's not up to us to tell you what who you should trust and what have you. So what we have at Galileo is a platform that enables influencers and news providers like yourself to freely and in an uncensored fashion put out the information as you see it. And this is it sounds like that's something that is going on everywhere. But as you know, it's something that is not going on almost anywhere. Everything is being censored. People are being delisted and deplatformed. And look, it doesn't matter if you're right wing, left wing, no wing, middle wing, whatever it is. It's like people have the right in this country to express their opinions. And if you don't like someone's opinion, don't listen to it. But what we just got really tired of is seeing people just shut down. That's what happens in China and North Korea and Russia. And, you know, we don't want to see that here as the standard. So Galileo, if you have a satellite phone from the satellite phone store, then you will be able to subscribe to Galileo for just $12 a month and receive information from the providers that you choose, including, of course, Doug, Steve Quayle, Mike Adams, and on and on and on. And we're adding more, more providers all the time. But again, what's important here to understand is that even if the cell phones networks don't go down, messages are being censored on the cell phone networks. Back in 2018, in December of 2018, the FCC changed the definition of text messaging from a communication service to an information service. And that then allowed and opened the door for the cell phone carriers to shut people off, to censor them with no legal repercussions whatsoever. So the cell phone networks are not places for freedom of speech anymore. And that rule change, you know, is going to be used by different people and different parties in different ways, but it's not going to be used in our favor, that's for sure. And in my experience, when the government gets a new power, it tends to just grow it. It does not tend to shrink it. So, you know, the worst is yet to come, I'm afraid.
I agree with you on this. And my question, I have a question for you. Maybe you can answer this. This happened to me in real time. I have an asset in the middle of the country, all right, I'm not going to say where, watching a certain activity take place right now as we speak, all right? This involves a threat to a potential large threat. And I've reported on this by way of Galileo, not this platform, but by way of Galileo. But here's my question to you, and maybe you can explain this. There was a text message that was sent to me, not on Galileo, but using cell phones, okay? It was sent to me that I never got. Now, when I told the operative that I never got that text message, he resent the text message. I never got it. Suddenly, a day and a half later, I received that text message. Is this part of the... I mean, this is obviously a problem. I've never seen that happen. I mean, what's going on with that? If you can answer that. I mean, to your best... Or if you want to speculate, what the heck? I mean...
I've heard this from other people. I've heard plenty of people who've been sent messages or sent messages that have never been received, you know, and you got your messages later on. I mean, it, you know, obviously I can't say with any authority, you know, exactly what happened there, but I do know what is going on. And that is that messages that are being sent out are just being deleted. And in some cases we had accounts that, you know, nothing to do with Galileo, but we had messages going out that contained the word vaccine, and our accounts were shut off. Those messages were never delivered, and we were banned from that platform.
Nice.
And okay. Yeah, so look, I mean, what we've seen is that mass messages are being targeted at the moment, but this rule change allows the targeting of individual messages And you know, the keywords that the AI is picking out, you know, seem to be be centered around COVID and the vaccine right now. But I don't know how far that has gone, and there may be plenty of other words, and I'm sure other keywords are going to be added to that list, and other people will be targeted and shut off. And this is it's a growing problem. I don't see how it's constitutional. I'm not a constitutional expert or lawyer by any means, but the First Amendment seems to guarantee our right to express ourselves. But it seems that the powers that be don't seem to agree with that, or they forgot about that.
No, I agree. I agree with you on that. And I've seen this happen. And since that time, now this was earlier, about a month and a half ago. Since that time, I will say this. The operative did purchase a satellite phone, and I'm telling you, these work just great. All you need is a clear line of sight to the satellite. You know, you can't do this from your basement, that is, necessarily, unless you have the equipment. But what do you like best about Galileo and about this system? Obviously, there's just a lot to like about it, but I mean, this is a lifesaver, the phone and the service, Galileo. And folks, again, Galileo.com. The link is on the program description box at HagmanReport.com, as well as the homepage. Please sign up for it. But what do you see the benefit? I mean, if you could pick out one benefit of many, what would it be?
I mean, I think overall, Doug, it's a great question. And for me, what Galileo does is start to shine a light in what has become a very dark country. The darkness just keeps getting darker. Our rights and our ability to express ourselves and communicate seems to be that's just getting taken away daily, and it's getting worse and it's getting darker. And with Galileo, I see it as a tiny light that is growing in that darkness, and we're shining it on the truth, we're shining it on the First Amendment. And, it is the only way that I see at the moment where people can express their opinions, whatever they might be. We're not trying to encourage anything underhanded here at all. If somebody is putting out something that is illegal or breaks the law, then it does. That's up to the authorities to take care of. But it's not up to us, or we don't think any other platform, to tell you what to think or what not to think, or just to not allow you to express yourself. And Galileo does that without bias. It is impartial, and we do not have editors or censors on our payroll. We never will. It's not part of what we're trying to do. We are just trying to provide a platform that allows people to freely communicate and get information from the people that they choose to trust, whomever that might be. I think that really sums it up for me, Doug.
I have found the Galileo service, folks. And look, if I have to sell it, I don't know if you really need it. And I say that humbly, because if you can't see what's taking place right now with in terms of information, the censorship, and how quickly that we need the information. I mean, just think about the verdict in Wisconsin, of course, and the potential for violence post verdict, and think about what's taking place elsewhere. You need information. You need it right now. I've watched this work in real time, Galileo. I have influencers who I follow, and I've got to tell you right now, it is in the financial market information. Not that I have money, but knowing stuff about cryptocurrency prices and what's happening in that realm, I've got to know, because I'm sitting here. The news, breaking news, as you see on your screen, civil unrest, infrastructure issues, or infrastructure disruption, food supply chain, so on and so forth. So many things taking place, weather alerts. I mean, everything when you need it, accurate information. People I trust, like you said, people you trust. And there's also another feature in there. Now, is this... in my understand, if you have a mom and dad and a couple of kids, and they all have satellite phones, and they're all part of Galileo, they can have their own little alert network as well. Is that a feature or no?
Yeah, okay, absolutely. Whilst we at the moment we choose the influencers that we allow onto the platform, including yourself and Steve and Mike and others. But look, if you want, if you have your family or your business, a group of people who all have satellite phones, you can use Galileo to send out messages, you know, to all of those phones. You put in one message and it goes out to everyone on your list. And those are private messages, and no one else gets to see them except the people you send them to. So it enables you to communicate with your group, with your family, with your colleagues, whomever it might be. When, you know, when the cell phones are down, when the power is down, you're still going to be able to communicate and put your messaging out to them. And it's very simple. Anyone who's ever used something like Twitter will know how to use it. It is, that's the only way we're similar, I would say. Okay. You know, it's just a text box. You type in your message, you press send, and it goes out to everyone on that list. And you can have as many lists as you want and send as many messages out as you want. And there is a very small charge, you know, for that, but we sell bundles of messages so that, you know, we're trying to make this affordable, Doug, across the board, as you know. That's always been our focus, whether at the satellite phone store with the free phone offer that we have right now, to Galileo at $12 a month. I mean, it's we're really cutting it thin, but look, we think, you know, the goal here is to keep people safe and informed at all times. And yeah, especially, you know, in times of crisis. But again, you know, uncensored information is something that is hard to come by, but Galileo provides a platform for that.
Is there anything, now you worked on this platform for quite some time, and folks, I want to tell you something. Again, the hardest working guy I know, or at least one of them, one of the top three hardest working men I know, is Chris Hoare, Galileo.com. And folks, you would be doing yourself a great service by A, purchasing a satellite phone from the satellite phone store, and B, signing up for Galileo, Galileo.com. Make sure you go to HagmanReport.com, click on the link, and there it is right there, and sign up for the alert system. Is there anything, what do you expect in terms of growth in the next, I don't know, couple of weeks, couple of months, through the end of the year, next year? I mean, is that something we should talk about, or you tell me what we should talk about? Because it's, there's so much, again, I really don't even want to sell. I don't want to sound like a salesman, because if I have to sell it to you, then I don't know if you need it, okay? Because if you can't see what's going on, boy, I'll tell you what, that's not meant to be an insult, but my goodness. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, look, we've been in kind of an alpha beta testing mode for the last 6 weeks. And, you know, we've ironed out the kinks and bugs that we found with, and the users that we have on the platform have been extremely helpful. And we really take our hats off to them for pointing out issues and suggesting improvements and changes. So we've been kind of keeping it on the down low a little bit. But we're at a point now where, you know, we're ready to take this thing out for a drive on the freeway kind of thing. So we've had sales of nearly 50,000 satellite phones in anticipation of this. So we're expecting things to get pretty busy. But we've got an enormous amount of inquiries from influencers who want to be on the platform. And, we need to be careful about not breaking the system. I think that's key. But the way it's been going, it's been performing extremely well. And we appreciate the messages and the information that you've been putting out, Doug. I think we've talked a lot about the influencers who are on there, but also you did mention the other information, which is undisputed information. It's financial prices, crypto prices. You know, this enables you to keep an eye on your business and your personal interests and financial interests as well. Because if you think about it, normally when the power goes down, let's say in the cell, or, you know, especially the power, you just presume it's going to come back up in an hour or two or the next day because it was a box on a pole down the street thing, kind of thing, that caught fire. And normally that happens. But what about when that doesn't happen? And we saw in Texas earlier this year where the power went out and it didn't come back on for a month. And at that, you've got to remember, when you have no phone, no internet, no power, you and no one around you has any idea what's going on because there is no information coming in. And that can be frightening. You know, it can be frightening, especially for people who are older and more frail, who aren't as able to, you know, to help themselves. I mean, what do you do? And having the information about what is going on, look, even if the news is bad, it's better to know than to not know. You know, it's like once you know, then you can take action. And look, if you have Galileo and a satellite phone, you can also be a beacon of hope and light and information for your community. You can get together with your neighbors, tell them what's going on, share what you're hearing. And the information that you're hearing is coming from trusted sources. It is coming from you, Doug. It's coming from Steve Quayle, Mike Adams, Dave Hodges, Paul Preston, and on and on and on. And these are people who are putting the real information out there so that you can be informed. And look, information can very often be the difference between life and death.
And absolutely. And I can attest to that. When I was working with Russ Dizdar and his team, and I'm still working with his team, but Russ had a satellite phone. I had a satellite phone, and the some team members had cell phones. And the area in which we were working, there was no coverage, no cell phone coverage whatsoever. And the satellite phones saved our bacon. So that's that's a plus for the satellite phones. But the information that's conveyed by Galileo as well, that's like the cherry on top of this gigantic sundae. So I've got to tell you, what you've put together, and I think what people are going to need now, I'm going to sell the people who are, you know, now I'm going to tell you that you really need this. If you are concerned about events, folks, that are taking place right now or that will be taking place, I'm telling you right now, the best way to stay informed, at least in my view, is Galileo. That's the platform when that everything should, all of the information, all of your knowledge in a situation of blackout, censorship, or whatever, will get through to you. And Chris, you put together just a wonderful, just a tremendous service for the Patriots out there. And I'm so excited about this. We got about 4 minutes left. I'm going to just turn it over to you.
Well, Doug, you know, you're far too kind, and I do appreciate everything you've said today and just, again, having me on. We have a really great team, you know, who's built this. I'm not a software engineer by any stretch of the imagination, but it's been just a joy to be a part of this whole operation. The people who have built this platform are the same people who are hired by states and so on, and they know how these guys work, and they know how to keep things secure. We've put this platform onto a distributed network of multiple servers across multiple data centers around the world, so that it is completely redundant to the absolute best of our ability. I mean, just so you know, and again, I'm not trying to get too technical, but if one of our servers goes down and one of our data centers, another one is automatically spun up at a new data center. And so it's like we have built in, you know, the most redundancy we can. For the people in the know, we utilize Filecoin to back up all our data and IPFS to distribute it. And what this means is that there is no single point of failure for Galileo. And that kind of just leads me to what I mentioned to you briefly earlier, which is Archimedes RainCloud, our new operating system, which will be released in the first quarter of next year. And that is an operating system that is completely cloud computed, distributed, and allows you, amongst many other things, to upload a file that cannot be deleted by anybody except you, nobody. So there's a lot of good things to come from our tech team. You've just done an amazing job, and everyone at Galileo has done a great job. And we so much appreciate, Doug, the help that you have provided to us. And we've had a ton of help from Steve Quayle and Mike Adams and others. And, you know, this really is a group effort, and yeah, we're a business and we need to make money to keep going. But honestly, it's like the service we're providing, we believe, is vital for the survival of freedom of speech and the First Amendment. I mean, I just don't see any other platform that is offering that. And yeah, you're absolutely right with Facebook and Twitter. I mean, it's just getting worse and worse what's going on there. And there's no hope there that things are going to turn around. So we want to be the total opposite, the polar opposite of those guys, and give the power back to you and the freedom of expression and the right to express yourself back to you. And it is not up to us to censor or edit or anything else. You know, that is not our role and that's not our right. You know, and if we can keep Galileo going and growing, then we'll be expanding the, you know, every part of this service into next year.
You know, it's up to all of us, I believe. If you, when I say all of us, I'm talking about the Patriot community, the Patriots, the people who care about what's going on, the people who want to see changes, the people who want to be part of that change, that need this service, that should use this service and be proactive about it. Tell others about Galileo. And by the way, the spelling on Galileo, I'm going to spell it for the people listening and that are visually impaired. It is G-A-L-I-L-E-Y-O. And there it is on your screen. But for those listening by way of Global Star Satellite Radio, it's G-A-L-I-L-E-Y-O. And I'm telling you right now, this is the future. And anyone who has a cell phone and a cell phone plan, a smartphone, whatever, folks, I'm telling you, this is affordable. This can, I believe this can replace your cell phone. And I believe it should, especially with all the stuff going on. And you know what? You can get the one for your wife, one for your children, whatever, your adult children and such. Chris, I just want to thank you again. You've really been, you talked about razor thin margins. You know what, folks? I know what it costs, kind of, sort of, okay? I don't know how you're doing it, but it's really a great, great service for the cost that's out there. I want to thank you for not gouging people in this time of dire need and unemployment and inflation. I really do. You've been very kind. I know how much work you've done.
Well, Doug, it's because of people like you are helping us spread the word that we can do that at all. And so again, thanks to you and all of your colleagues who've been so helpful. And we're just really excited to see what, you know, how much we can grow this and really become a reliable, solid source of trusted, uncensored information for anyone who cares to listen.
All right, Chris, I expect tomorrow, sometime tomorrow or close to the weekend, you call me up and say, you know what, we got like a million subscriptions or whatever, but let's get.
I wouldn't be surprised.
let's get a move on. All right, brother. God bless you, man.
Cheers.
All right, Galileo.com. Folks, that was Chris Hoare. I'm going to tell you what, and I'm serious about this. You know, we talk about the problems. This is a solution. We've talked about the about Fauci and about the virus and the bioweapon and such. Okay, look, I'm going to tell you something else. I'm going to give you a little bit of a teaser tomorrow. All right, you know how people right now, are you hearing things like, oh, another virus release, like smallpox? Does that sound familiar to you? I want to tell you something. I've been looking at this, and I'm going to be sending out some alerts by way of Galileo, but the general information. You remember the anthrax attacks back in 2001. I'm sure you do. If you weren't alive then, or weren't of age then, well, talk to someone who was. There's a lot of backstory to that. And there's a lot of, when I say backstory, the people involved in that, in anthrax, in the prepping of anthrax attacks back in 2001, that the people and entities and government officials, and yes, even the pharmaceuticals. You know what? In my research, all of a sudden they're popping up in the smallpox talk. They're popping up in the new anthrax talk or whatever the next bioweapon might be. I've got information about that tomorrow that I'm going to be getting into. And I've got to tell you something. Okay, it's very disconcerting. Because if this coronavirus and this, hey, you know how many times that they have tried to get a universal vaccine into everybody's arm? Even the U.S. Army. Listen to this real quick here. I don't know how many people know this. When I saw this, and again, I have my notes electronically, which because I found out I was writing so much I couldn't even read my own writing. But subsequent to the anthrax attacks, the military began jabbing everybody. Hang on a minute here. Let me get to it. They began jabbing everybody. Well, it turns out that the anthrax shot injection that the military was giving its soldiers. You ready for this? You've heard about hang on a minute here. It's annoying when I do that, isn't it? You've heard about Gulf War syndrome, right? Well, it turns out there is a direct relationship between Gulf War syndrome and that injection. And in addition, that injection for anthrax protection to the troops that were deployed or being prepared for deployment, who received that injection, turns out that injection caused multiple cases of myocarditis and pericarditis. Where have we heard that before? Eric the Tech, does that sound familiar to you, my man? By the way, happy December. You okay?
It is December.
Yeah, it is. December 1st. Did you get my shop? I mean, you give me anything for Christmas?
Of course.
Okay. Can I have it now? Never mind.
Soap and a sock.
Eric the Tech. Anyway, but I'm serious. I don't know if you've heard that, but that's just part of the information I have. I'm going to be doing a little special insert tomorrow about this, but it's just it's unbelievable. And by the way, tomorrow we are going to be joined by Steve Quayle for a segment of the show. So that's a good thing. But right now we've got Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. That's ProvisInstitute.com. And I've got a question for Richard. And I don't know, this is his time now. He can take us wherever he wants to take it. But I've got a question for him. And it has to do with, here's my question. With the push toward this global governance, this centralization of power, there's got to be a global currency or some sort of, along with the Great Reset, there's got to be some sort of digital currency that's connected to everything. I guess my question is, can that happen? And I mean, can that happen? And if it can happen, what's our defense against that? In other words, how do we defend against that? How do we create, a parallel economy? And if so, how does that work? What method of exchange do we use? Is it mere barter? Because none of this is constitutional. So that's why I wanted to ask him that question. And that kind of also the question about cryptocurrency as well. How does that even work, cryptocurrency? I mean, it's just, what happens if somebody pulls the plug on the internet? All of a sudden, you don't have any cryptocurrency. Again, how does that work? So those are my questions to Richard Proctor, because he's the number one economist I know. And in addition to a constitutional scholar, he knows all about the economy and stuff. So those are my questions. I don't know. Something that was bothering me. I don't know, folks, if you think that's relevant or not. But Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. By the way, before I even go any further, if you haven't done so already, Christmas gifts. Oh, my goodness. Buy one book, get the other half off. Limited time only. It's only till December 10th, I believe it is.
And Richard, it is, right?
Okay. And the other thing, the Liberty Series, this is totally separate now, the Liberty Series, $100 out the door. You can't beat that with a stick. And I'll tell you something. If I didn't have those books, I would love to get that for a Christmas present if you exchange gifts or a birthday gift or an anniversary, whatever it might be. Richard Proctor, thanks for doing that. Come on in.
I'm here. By the way, to get those specials, you need to call 801-719-6291. make sure that's in the program box.
Okay.
It's on the website too, you know, so it's not, nothing is hidden here, but that's how you get those specials, because the computer program, the computer website won't honor it.
All right. So 801, tell me again, 801.
719-619-6291.
Okay.
Pick up the phone and call.
All right. It's right at the top of provostinstitute.com website. But folks, 801, those driving who may not watch this, or those in the car with those driving, 801 or 801, I should say, 719-6291. Call for those specials. Richard, thank you very much. And yes, so what about cryptocurrency? Is that a thing? Do you know, I mean...
Why don't we go through it as you ask the questions rather than jumping in the middle?
Go ahead.
Okay, let's do that. First, currency worldwide. It's already been introduced, talked about. It hasn't been officially done. Haven't done anything officially about it, but they're talking about it, and that's to get us ready for it, I suspect. They're called SDRs, or special drawing rights, and that is cryptocurrency. Yes, that is. No other way to do it. And you pointed out something very good. You might wake up one morning with your plug pulled. You don't have any money. Why? Because you didn't get an injection or a booster shot, or you didn't say something right, or you weren't someplace you were supposed to be. In other words, you don't get what you're entitled to because they pulled your plug. And that's the situation. China does it already. They call it it's some kind of an agreement. You got a carbon date, carbon usage, that kind of stuff. They do that already. You don't have the proper stuff. They you don't have any money. You can't do anything. You can't buy anything. So, you know, they talk about you got to have the mark in your hand or your forehead. That's in the Bible. You know, remember that Book of Revelations. You got to have that. But you realize it doesn't matter if you've got a mark or not. If you don't have any money, you can't buy it anyway. And who controls the money? In this case, the world government will control the money. Are you ready for that?
No.
That's how it's done. Have you ever been to open a bank account in the bank, you know, and they've asked you for your thumbprint to open the account?
No. Of course, I haven't opened an account in 25 years because...
But it's more recent than that. Okay, yes, I have. I've been to a bank. What do you need this for? I said to them, well, you know, we've got to do it. Well, you know, of course, that this is just digital and everybody's going to have that thumbprint in the on file in the digital records. You're going to like that? Well, we got to do it. Well, I don't think I opened the account. But nonetheless, that was the situation. Everybody thumbprint is digital. You go some places and they've got a thing you gotta do a thumbprint to cash a check or use the card or whatever. That's all digital. Tap and go, that's all digital. All these things are digital, everybody. And that's how they're getting control of you. Then they'll change it to special drawing rights. How they're going to do that, I don't know. But that's what they are, SDRs. That's what they've been talking about for, I don't know, about 3-4 years. So it's coming.
That's a basket of currencies, SDRs, right? Like a group of currencies.
Well, yeah, but special drawing rights would be when it's in its final thing. You have money you can draw, or you don't.
Okay. So, is this okay? A couple of weeks ago, being considered for nomination, Maoist woman, and I don't remember her name. It was talking about, and I think you mentioned this too, about everyone deposit directly to the Fed. Remember that?
No, I'm sure. I'm not remembering. Everyone drawing directly from the Fed?
Everyone depositing, and I mean, all accounts would be at the Fed.
We are doing that now. That's not something in the future. That's how it's all done today. I know it's in your bank. I know that. Where do you think your bank? What do you think your bank's authority comes from? The Fed. I know that they hide it. I know it's not obvious, but nonetheless, every account you open is controlled by the Federal Reserve right now. Unless, of course, you've got one of the banking systems I've been trying to get in place for 5 years called public citizens' banks outside of the Federal Reserve. I've been trying to do it for 5 years. Nobody ever even wants to. They listen for a while, grin, and hang up, so to speak. I don't mean the phone. I mean their mind. Hang up.
Hmm. But by the way, I was talking about, and I don't know how to pronounce her first name, Saul Omarova. Okay. She is a professor at Cornell, the law professor, that is. And she was Biden's selection for top Treasury Department position. That's what, who I was talking about. And of course, a Maoist slash Marxist. And it's just incredible. So thank you. But okay. But now, but you explained that. You also explained cryptocurrency. And I appreciate that because I can't wrap my brain around something that I can't see. I'm a tangible kind of guy. So I appreciate what you said.
But you see, that's how they slowly bring things in so that we don't really know what's happening to us. It's done on purpose. These things, there's nothing coincidental. Okay. Everything is planned. Period. Government doesn't do coincidences. They're all planned. How far ahead? Well, this particular event that started last January, not this, in 2020, okay? That event that started in 2020 was planned in 2010 and written down in the Rockefeller Foundation scenarios, and it's on page 18, describing this event. And they described it to a T, except they missed one item. Their goal was 7 million deaths in the first few weeks. And that didn't happen. They were very disappointed that didn't happen.
You know something? It's almost, I look at this and I look at the books that you've written from Bathroom Economics, talking about the economy and where we're at with our economy. And the imminency, if that's the proper word, of some sort of digital replacement for an out-of-control inflated currency. I remember studying about the fall of Rome, and debasement of the currency was a big factor, along with borders and other things that we're seeing happen in America today and elsewhere.
How it's done. That's how it's done.
Exactly. So you've written an incredible book, Bathroom Economics, about the economy. You've written about saving the Constitution, about constitutional things. You know, even though we may be past some might say we live in a post-constitutional society here in America. I don't think that to be the case. I think we need to reinstall the factors, and of course, to do that, saving the Constitution is an important book. Go ahead, sir.
The only people who are past the Constitution are those who decide they are.
Yeah. That's
okay.
Good point.
If you decide you are, then you are. If you decide you're not, then you're not. It's not an issue. Federal government does not have the right to take it away from you. You allow them to do it. You pick up that sentence? You allow them to do it. Here's a phrase. I'm going to read it. I've read it a couple of times now. It's up on the board here. I had to write it so I could read it. It's fairly long. Oh, it'll be very confusing. Here we go. At the end of the day, the real pandemic in America isn't the Chinese flu. It is the gross ignorance, mindless compliance with unlawful, unconstitutional, and maniacal mandates that no thinking person would ever comply with.
Mm.
And we're complying with it constantly. We run to get these vaccinations. There are 5 now. And, you know, they talk about I go into the store. These people that have been vaxxed are not required to wear a mask. Okay, good. That's what the sentence says. There are so many booster shots now that if you haven't had all of them, then the appropriate whatever, if you don't have all, you're not vaxxed.
Right.
In fact, almost nobody is completely vaxxed because even when you get a vaccination, it doesn't count until you had it for 14 days. Then on the 15th day, you've been vaxxed, but then there have something else. Almost nobody is vaxxed according to the definitions of the CDC and all the folks that want to just get you. You haven't been vaxxed yet. I'm sorry. You have the 2, you haven't been vaxxed. You have 1 booster, you haven't been vaxxed. You have the 3 boosters temporarily till they come up with the 4th booster, and that's in the works very quickly. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's how it's done, you guys. You're going to have so many vaxes in your system that your whole system will be just the made up of the gunk they shove into your system. That's all it'll be, because there won't be room for anything else. They're going to have so many of them. Three a year, four a year. From now on, that's 30 in 10 years. Oh, dear me.
You got to have them all. You know, we have to ask ourselves who benefits, and that goes back to economics. And of course, we know, I've been mentioning this, that the CDC, for example, they own 57 vaccine patents. They spend 4.9 of their $12 billion annual budget buying and distributing vaccines. And this is how they make the money. And Fauci, for example, makes, and his underlings and colleagues, under the NIH, they make $150,000 stipend per year per injection or per vaccine. It's just incredible. I mean, what we're seeing here. So this, go ahead.
You ask who gets benefit from it.
Right.
The economic benefit goes to the people, hospitals. Oh yes, hospitals are getting a lot of benefit from it. That's why they're so hep on it. Who else gets benefit? The international banking establishment gets benefit because they are killing off the population. That's the goal. Read, you just, there was this is a while ago quote, but it's in my books. He said, he's a prince in England. He said, if I come back reincarnated, I want to come back as a germ so I can kill off as many people as possible.
I believe that was Prince Philip. Yep.
Yep. That's it. That's the name. Philip. Yep. I want to come back as a germ, okay? Oh, my good. Jacques Cousteau was one of the group. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. The group's huge. The group, International Banking Establishment. They want us dead. Just enough to take care of them. Slaves, you know. Got to have some slaves. They're not going to wash the dishes. They're not going to do anything. They're just going to sit around and watch us do it all.
You know, Richard, I want to tap just briefly, and then you can take this wherever you want to take this, but tap into your historical expertise. How is it that a lot of people, and I ask this question all the time, how is it that a lot of people have fallen for this huge lie, and some are so afraid, you know, to leave their house without two masks, you know, and a face shield, and they've got to be, and they're falling for this double, triple, quadruple, 5-6 vax, you know, or injections, and they're okay with the changing definition of vaccine. I mean, what, Richard, have you seen this before?
Actually, you have. It's just a little bit quieter than this. It was called Common Core Math, sets of math. You know, they decided in this Common Core stuff that 5 times 3 is 15, but 3 times 5 is not. Did you know that? Now, I may have had those backwards. It may be the other way around, but that's the idea. 5 times 3 is correct. 3 times 5 is not correct. Kid fails if he does 3 times 5, because the answer is 5 times 3. That's a change of concept. They're being taught that kind of thing in the Common Core, those similar to that. That one's very obvious, but the others are not quite so obvious. So they're being taught over and over again that the government, the school board, can change words and meaning of words anytime they want. They call this a vaccine. A vaccine is something that you take when you get cured for something. You get a little bit of it, and that gives you immunity for a period of time. That's how vaccines work. Vaccines are a portion of the disease. You get a small case of it, and now your immune system knows that that's a bad thing, and that you're set to be free from that particular item. And that's what vaccines are. Well, everybody doesn't know this, but any thinking person knows this. All kinds of people taking the vaccine are still getting the disease. Therefore, it's not a vaccine. It's just a jab. It's just a insertion of a foreign body into your system. And you're running to the place to get it. Oh, I got to have one of those. I got to have one of those. I got to be safe. I've got to be safe. From what? You've got to be safe from the manufactured diseases. Now, mind you, the bioweapon is manufactured, and it's effective. Okay? It is. But the jab doesn't keep you from having, from getting, contracting the bioweapon. Nope. Doesn't do it. Doesn't do it. I don't care how many signs they say. If you've been vaxxed, you don't have to wear a mask. Don't know how, don't care. That, there's no such thing. No such thing. And the mask are no value. Come on, folks.
Man.
The oxygen molecule that carries the vaccine, I'm sorry, that carries the disease, the virus, is 252 pictograms. That's the size, pictometers. 252 pictometers.
Or as I like to say, damn small.
Really, really small, because you that's 0.252 nanometers. Those are those really, they're really small. That's 0.000252 microns. Folks, guess what? That mask won't stop 10 microns. How's it going to stop 0.000252? That's the molecule size of oxygen. And it's the oxygen that carries it, or it's the breathing that carries it. And how far will it go? 6 feet? Oh, you mean it has a wall? Drop down to the floor at 6 feet? Yeah, no. 8 meters. Do you know what 8 meters is? 26 feet. And that's only if the air is still. If it's being blown around by the air conditioner or a breeze or a wind or whatever, it'll carry farther than that. So what's this 6 foot garbage? Be safe. Stand 6 foot away from everybody. Don't gather in groups and wear a mask and get a shot. Which one of those is valid? Not one of them. Not one. Yet, we've learned in school. I was in the 50s in school. My wife was in the 60s in school. Doug, when were you in the school? In the 20s or teens? Oh, no, never mind. Anyway, those of us who were fortunate enough to be in the school system before the 1970s, maybe even before the 80s, yeah, it came gradually. But those of us who are fortunate enough, we know that government doesn't know everything. We know that there's a lot of lies. We know that things aren't exactly as they're portrayed to be. We know all those things, so we watch out. Why do you think so many older folks are against these kinds of things, while the young people run like lemmings to the cliff edge and jump off? Folks, that's why we're doing what we're doing, because we are scared to death of anything. Ask you a question. This is a very interesting question. I want everybody to think about this for a minute. Do any of the kids go out and play in the dirt? Did you go out and play in the dirt when you were a youthie? Did you get water there and play in the mud?
Oh, man. Yeah, I drank from the garden hose. I played in the dirt. And if I got hurt, I rubbed dirt on it and walked it off. Or at least that's what I'm
saying. Well, now, see, your mom today would see that and say, to the doctor emergency room. We got to save you. My mother-in-law, my first marriage, kept her house cleaner than an operating suite in the hospital. Everything. Spick and span. Constantly. Folks, we are now trying to live in a germ-free world. Or we want to be germ. We won't want any germs around. It's like the bubble boy that has to live in a bubble because he gets every disease and can't be protected unless he's in a bubble.
Yep.
I was in Italy. 1972, 3, that neighborhood. I was in Italy. Might have been 4 or 5. Doesn't matter. 75. Okay. I was a hospital administrator. I had a 4-bed clinic. It wasn't a hospital, it was a clinic. We were in Brindisi, Italy, down southern, that's the southern eastern part of Italy. Okay, that's where we were. Our hospital was on the other side of an airplane trip in Wiesbaden, Germany. So we had to have hospitals we could go to in the city, Brindisi. So we went down to visit those hospitals on a routine basis, regular basis, sit down and see. Now, I'd been in hospital work now for years, decades already. Well, not, yeah, more than 10, yeah. I've been in hospital a long time. And one of the major committees in the hospital is the infectious disease committee. Most people don't know about this, but that's one of the major committees. What does that mean? That means hospital infections. They are very concerned in the hospitals in the United States and all of our hospitals about any diseases that are carried in the hospital itself from room to room. They have what you call positive airflow rooms. That's air that does not go into the hospital. It goes outside immediately. It doesn't ever go by anybody. It goes through filters and all kinds of stuff and goes outside. Those are isolation rooms. That's where they keep people that have a significantly contagious airborne disease. All right, guys, big deal. Now, I'm in Italy. We wander down the hall with the guide telling us, you know, I knew a little Italian, not very much. I knew a little. Anyway, we walked into this room. I looked around and said, this is the surgical suite. Here we are in our shoes, regular clothes, in the surgical suite of the hospital in Brindisi, Italy. We walked down the hallways, and there's the beds lined up in the edges of the hallways. And what kind of beds are they? Oh, I don't know. Something we would have thought might have been in the barracks of World War II. They probably were those very beds. Anyway, they were in the hospital, lined up in the all these things. Everybody in the same room, so to speak, no isolation, nothing. Guess what their in-hospital disease rate was? Next to zero. Did they have a infectious control committee? No, they didn't have it. They didn't worry about it. I talked to a young man, and I was talking to him about his life. He was my instructor and my tutor in Turkish. And he described to us, he says, this is what happens. Mama is out doing whatever she's doing in the field, and she has her baby in the field. She puts her baby down, goes right on working. In the daytime, she comes and puts her baby in the shade, nice of a nice shady tree, then goes to work. The sun moves, and before long, the baby's in heavy heat sun in Turkey, by the way. Heavy heat sun. Only the best survive. Only those survive. Most everybody doesn't. They just don't. That's the environment they live in. They don't care so much about. But they do have a high survival. People don't die. They don't die. They don't die. The best, the weakest do, but not the others. So they go along. They live in tents. So you can't believe the tents they live in. These are the, we would call them gypsies. They were the, I don't remember the word for they were called. But anyway, they went from place to place, moved along. They had gray tents with stuff that held them up. They moved in, moved out, moved along, always traveling, always going places. They lived in tents. I looked at those tents and they were terrible. And I thought of the biblical people in the Old Testament living in tents. That's it. Same. People don't live in tents like you see in the movies where you walk into the tent on the sand and you walk into all these carpets and beautiful this and, oh, it's just gorgeous. No. That's not it at all. That's not it. If you watch another movie, this movie is I don't remember the name. That's terrible. They're fighting tank wars. Tank wars in Europe. I'm sorry, in North Africa.
Right. Rommel.
Rommel and Patton.
Right.
Okay, and we see a scene where the animals get nervous. Camels are nervous. The sheep are nervous. These guys, they wake up. They see they're nervous. They tear down their tents, pack them all up, put them on the camels, and take off. Here come the tanks right where they would have been. They knew to watch the animals, knew what to do. They did. They moved. Okay, they moved left. The point I'm trying to make in all of this is things are not like you see them in the movies when they walk into one of these gorgeous tents. They're not like that at all. Okay? Not like that at all. But they survive. They survive. They don't have any hospital infection committees. Why do we have them and they don't? And that's the question you should be asking yourself now. Why don't we have those hospital infections and they do? You should be asking that question. That's a big why question. I saw it. I was there. I watched it. I saw it. I saw both sides of that. Why didn't Italy have hospital infection committees?
Well,
how did all these people I'm talking about that live in dirt survive? But they did. How did they survive? We couldn't survive in that environment. Wow. How's this happening? You got to look at these things, guys. If they hadn't survived, we wouldn't be here today. Okay? Simple. But today, our parents are so afraid of the slightest bit of dirty that Johnny's got to have a bath because he went outside in the dust. Sterilizing the bottles for the baby feeding. Oh, my. The process you have to go through. The process you have to sterilize your bottles to put up food put on the shelf in your own home. Now, I want you to think this through. Think about this for a minute. You got to take all your quart jars and all your pint jars and all the lids and all the rings. You got to sterilize them. 20 minutes boiling water. Done. Got to handle them carefully so they don't get any germs. You put the stuff in them. You put them back in to seal. And what's the seal? It's boiling water for 30 minutes. Why did you have to sterilize them before? You're going to sterilize them when you put them in the boiling water for 30 minutes. It's already going to be done. Why do you have to do it twice? Ever thought about that? No, we don't think about those things. We don't think about them. Because, folks, we're taught and we follow exactly the directions that germs are going to kill us. They're going to kill us off. Well, they really are. I understand that. They're going to kill us off. So we cannot have any germs. And I walked into a home. My mother-in-law's home was, I've never seen a hospital surgical suite any cleaner than that. I didn't see many surgical suites because they wouldn't let me in them because I wasn't properly gowned and all that kind of stuff.
You know what? We may have had the same mother-in-law. In fact, Eric the Tech and I were talking about that. You could eat off her garage floor. I'm telling you.
Oh, yes. The garage floor. Yeah, absolutely.
It was insane. But you make some good points here. And the more I study this, you know, the lockdowns, they have exacerbated people's, well, the lockdowns themselves and the social isolation, not distancing, but isolation, have compromised the immune systems of, yes. You know, of
we don't have what we would have had. Right. We won't have any of those. We would have associated with people and we would have picked up germs and our immune system and our body would have said, oh, this is not good. And they'd build up antibodies and it would have worked. We'd have been okay, but not now. Not now. We've been isolated into a small knit group in a home. You can't go out. You cannot go out. Australia's that way right now. You cannot leave your house. Australia's that way. You cannot leave your house except for five reasons. And one of those five is to get injections. Then you won't be able to leave your house because you'll be in a coffin. So it's the same. What I'm trying to say, guys, is we are so hepped up on germs that we refuse to have any of them anywhere around us. So when we heard about the germs of this particular disease, bioweapon, we heard about those germs, we were scared to death. We had to wear a mask. We've got to wear a mask. We have got to protect ourselves. We've got to stand apart. We can't gather in groups. We've got to be apart or we'll get disease. We can't have disease. Come on, folks.
We've turned into a bunch of... I don't know. You know, look, I understand, okay, you don't want to, you know, eat E. coli, okay? I mean, let's be sensible about this. But the for example, masking, right now there are 52 studies all available on the NIH website that find that ordinary masking using anything less than an N95 mask doesn't reduce any kind of viral infection rate whatsoever. Even in hospital or surgical settings, okay? So, and there's another 25 additional studies that attribute masking to a whole litany of other issues and harmful things like respiratory and immune system illnesses, dermatological, dental, gastrointestinal, psychological injuries, so it's crazy. So yes, we've been lied to on a huge scale. And we've got to ask ourselves, or we've got to, you know, that's why the people who are wearing masks and who insist on others to wear masks, it's a control thing. It's not about health.
No, it's not health at all. I guess the guy in the hospital told me it's a policy.
Yeah.
It's not going to help me healthy. No, this is a policy. We do it for a policy. That's why. Why do we do the policy? Because they told us to. Well, I ain't going to follow your policy. And they got mad at me. He got mad at me. Remember that? Maniacal mandates no thinking person would comply with. Maniacal mandates. Good phrase, because that's what it is. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Just think about this for a minute. If you had lived in the 1800s and somebody told you you had to live like that, would you have said, yes, sir? Or would you have said, get bent, I'm going to do what I'm going to do? That's what the 1800 folks would have done.
Yeah, really. The 1800s, I would have got off my horse and shot him.
Yeah, you know? That's right. The whole world was different. They took care of themselves, folks. They took care of themselves. We were taught in the 30s that the government is here to take care of us, and the government must make sure we're healthy. We were taught we have a right. What are some of the rights? A right to food, a right, freedom from want, freedom from poverty, freedom from disease, freedom from fear. Oh, I tell you, we had all these extra freedoms thrown in the 30s. A chicken in every pot, that means the government's going to take care of the chickens in your pots. Couldn't make sure you have them. That was the goal. Chicken in every pot. You don't have a chicken? Welfare people, get you a chicken. Got a chicken in every pot. Got to have a welfare system. Oh, my, welfare. That means taking care of folks. That's what welfare is. We got to help people. If they don't have it, we got to give it to them. Oh, my, what have we grown into? What have we fostered here? So not only are we scared of our own shadows, okay, we're dependent on somebody else to take care of us right from the womb to the tomb. Yes. Insurance is that same kind of thing. I wonder how many people had insurance on their homes in the 1850s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. Insurance? What's that? Well, that's in case it burns down, we'll build you a new one. What? I got to build my own. I just go out. Hack down a few trees and put it back together again. Insurance? Folks, we have been taught that insurance is absolutely imperative. Who taught us that? The court system. Why did they teach us that? Because they gave awards that were so out horribly high that they were completely out of the realm of possibility, and we had to have something to protect us from them. That's what insurance is. It's to protect us from the justice system.
Wait. Say that again. To protect us, so insurance, you're saying, is even the concept is to protect us from the justice system. How so?
Well, let me wander back in my life. Nobody else's, mine. Okay, I had my tonsils out. Where did I have them out? In the doctor's office. Anything fancy? Nah, I counted backwards and lost count. Went home, had ice cream. That's what it was. That's it. Done. Cost a few $100. Parents pay for it out of the pocket. No problem. Today, you have that same item. You're going to be in the hospital. You're going to be in the surgical suite. You're going to pile up money by the thousands per hour. Okay? And they probably let you go home afterwards, but maybe not, depending on the hospital and the doctors and stuff. They keep you there. Why? They keep you there because they're scared to death that if they don't and something comes up, you will sue them. And when it gets to the justice system, it gets to the court, the suits are millions and millions of dollars. There have been awards on medical stuff like this of $1 billion. So we have to have insurance so we can afford to pay the costs that are being created because of all of our have to have this and have to have that. Have you ever heard the phrase, money's no object, take care of them, get them better. Money's no object.
Oh, yeah.
Whose money is no object? Whose money?
Yeah.
Folks, that's what we live in today. We're afraid of anything. Can't die? Keep these people alive on a machine. By the way, that's what ventilators are for, to keep you alive. I'm here to tell you guys, I've seen it happen. I've seen what a ventilator does. I spoke more people now have seen it also than used to, but I bet you the 90% of the listening audience has never seen a ventilator at work. Well, I'm here to tell you what it's like, okay? My mother died. They couldn't accept that, so they brought her back, put her on a ventilator. they blow her up. Now that's what it's like. They blow up a balloon and drain the balloon. And your arms are going flipping around, and your head is, your chest is, everything. This is not a nice, calm thing. Let's put them on a ventilator, it'll be fine. No, it's not like that at all, you guys. I saw it. I demanded those guys take my mother off that machine. My sister demanded it. They would not. Why do you mean? She has a living will. You know what a living will means? It means you can die. That's what a living will means. How about that? She does not want to be resuscitated. That was her last admission. Well, she couldn't do one for this admission. She came in unconscious. Oh, but she may have changed her mind. We finally got her off of it. They moved her up to a ward on the fifth or sixth floor in a wing. No other person was in the hospital in that wing. I don't know how the rest of it was, but no other person was there. She was there. They took her off the machines. They put her on the machines like at about 6 in the morning. They took them off at about 8:30, something like that. Finally got it across to them. They moved her up there, peaceful, quiet place, environment. And she quietly passed away at about 10:30 or 11 o'clock. We're not sure exactly when, because she would not breathe and then she would. So we weren't sure exactly when it was. But it's peaceful. It was quiet. It was serene. It was comfortable. My mother passed away in an environment that was comfortable.
And she wasn't, I've seen that happen too. And I'm glad you brought that up because, folks, another thing too, as we enter into things, if you don't have a medical power of attorney for your spouse, please get one. Find out how to get one. If you don't have a living will, please get one. And I've seen people kept alive artificially. And to me, I don't know what to say, but to me that's not cool, man. I mean, you and I have seen similar things, I'm sure, and it's heartbreaking. It really is. And by the way, with this virus, they're incentivizing the use of the ventilators along with remdesivir, which of course puts money in the pocket of Fauci and others and big pharma. Because remdesivir shuts everything down and the ventilators are required. So,
Murdered. We're being murdered by our hospital system.
That's it. You got it. Yep.
Had in 2019, we had an excellent medical system. 2020, we began to go downhill. 2021, we do not have a medical system any longer.
Well, sorry, guys. Didn't you tell me, wasn't it you that we were talking? It must have been, I don't know, I'm going to say 10 months ago. Wasn't the start of the decline of our medical system Obamacare? Didn't you and I have that discussion, or perhaps not?
We would have. Yes, that was the beginning.
Okay.
It was the beginning. And our buddy Romney, who's a senator from our state now, we just love him there. He was the guy who started that kind of thing in Massachusetts.
Right. Okay.
Obamacare is a part of that. And Obamacare tried hard to get rid of Obamacare. It was a court case all the way to the Supreme Court. They kept claiming this is a fee. It's not a tax. That's very important. They didn't want to tax people. It's a fee. It's not a tax. Well, if it's a fee, it's unconstitutional. Get out of my face. So here comes the Chief Justice who appointed, and we knew, everybody knew, everybody, all the, everybody talked. They knew that he was going to say it's a fee and it's unconstitutional. He got up that morning, wrote his decision, it's a tax and it's constitutional, and have at it. And we've got it since. Wow. They had to pay off the people to get it passed in the first place. They didn't have enough that would actually pass it in Congress, so they had to pay them off. Oh, yes, big bucks flowed to get them to vote the way they needed it to be done. But that's not the beginning. The beginning of our destruction of our medical system was when Medicare was established in the 1970s. And I was in the hospitals and saw it. Yes, that's when it began to be destroyed. When Medicare was established. And we've just been going downhill ever since. You see, guys.
People have to know history. They do. They've got to understand it in order to understand where we are today.
Yeah. Medicare set it up so that people could have government insurance. How do you like that? Medicare. And that's when they started to take, they always took, well, since the 30s, they always take money out for Social Security. And in the 70s, they began to take money out, very small amount, for Medicare. Okay. Medicare is government paid insurance. Government paid medical care. I have Medicare. No, I don't. I'm in a VA hospital. I don't. But if I don't go to the medical hospital, I have Medicare, just like everybody else. So I'll go into the hospital and I would say, doctor, I've got Medicare. Well, I don't take Medicare. What do you mean you don't take Medicare? They don't pay enough. They don't pay enough. Very important sentence. That's how all the costs went so berserk. Because you see, there are things that they can't really track. That's to do with surgeries, major surgeries, stuff like that. They can't really track. So since they can't track it very well, they began to overcharge those things so that they could pay for the other things that the government insurance wouldn't pay for. Now, I worked in the hospital a long time, guys. I learned about trimesters for the young ladies in their pregnancy times. Trimesters, first, second, third trimester. I learned about those kinds of things and what's going on here. I also handled what they called in those days, it was CHMPIS, is what they called medical insurance for retired and dependents. Military guys went to the hospital. CHMPIS took care of their family in the community. All right, so I went, I learned about CHMPIS. I learned, and then when I left the service, I learned how CHMPIS and other things like that, doctors' payment, doctors' costs were computed. So here's the long and the short of it. First, CHMPIS came along, and it would only pay for certain things. Did you pick that up? Only certain things? That's government deciding whether you're sick or not. Now, and they controlled how much was going to be paid, and it was complicated to get the paperwork done, and I helped people do it. I was registered, and it was a part of my job, helping people learn how to handle CHMPIS. I went all over the base, taught CHMPIS to every base, every commander's call on the base, make sure they could take care of it for their families. Okay, Now, I got out of the service and went to work for a company that was doing cost containment for physicians. Now, I knew about this stuff. You know, I had years and years and years in hospitals and working with physicians. I knew about this kind of stuff. They set up a, they keep track of the cost of a procedure. How much did you charge? I charged $100. Well, the 70th percentile will only allow you to get paid $70. So, or $50 or $60, whatever it was. I learned about that too. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's not a percentage, it's a percentile. Percentile means the number, not an amount. Percentile, if 100 items cost or $5 each and one of them is $100 each, the percentile is 5, not an average. It's 5 because it's the 70th charge, 70th percentile charge. It's the 70th one out of every 100. So if the 70th one was $1,000, then all the rest would be above that, you see, because that's how it's put in. Now it's $1,000, even though it only used to be $200. So that's how doctors' bills were figured. So this is what happened to the trimester business. Doctors were paid by the trimester. Now, I'm a physician, an obstetrician. I'm going to charge $500 for each trimester. They're only going to pay me $250. That's okay. That's okay. This year I'll get $250. Next year I'll get $500 because that will establish the new levels. Everybody charges $500. Now the levels trimester is $500. But this year when you're getting $500, you're charging $750. So next year you get $750. Then you're charging $1,000. So the next year you get $1,000. You see how that works? Do you see what's happening? And wow, those are all approved by the insurance company standard books. That's how it's done. So I created a business about that, doing ambulatory surgery. Did really well because of that. Did really well. But the point I'm trying to make in is that's how costs are computed in the hospitals today. That's how it's done. That's how Medicare is done. Medicare uses the same percentiles. That's how it's done. Not percentages, percentiles. Okay? That's how it's done. So the physicians sit back and say, well, I cannot make it enough now, but I will next year. So they fix it in such a way that they'll make enough next year so that they can set the year after up. And that's how the price. So what are the prices on? You're responsible. And you're going to sign a document. You go to the hospital, you're going to sign a document. You're responsible for any charges the insurance company doesn't pay. Do you know you sign one of those every time you go to the hospital? Yeah, you do. You know what you're supposed to do? Everybody, listen close. Listen close. What you're supposed to write is you are usual and reasonable. On that form, usual and reasonable. All of a sudden, they can't charge you $10,000 a room. They can only charge you what's considered usual and reasonable. And usual and reasonable is in the book. But if you don't write that on there, they can stick you for the $5,000 a night for a room.
Hey, have you done that? I mean, have you?
Have I written those on the form?
Yes.
Every time I go into the hospital, every time I sign one of those forms, I write UNR, usual and reasonable. Sometimes I write the words out. Sometimes I just write the UNR.
Okay. And that has kept you from
Signed it and I've signed it. So it's a legitimate contract.
Okay. Okay.
They signed it and I did. The people there didn't know what they were signing. I did. They didn't. Most of the people who are looking at don't know what they're signing, so they accept whatever the lady says, whatever the clerk says, whatever the guy says. They just sign this, and you'll be, okay. And right there under the line, a little bit above the signature, says you're going to pay all the money that the insurance companies don't pay. Right above the line. Not too far. And you've scribbled your name below it, and there it is. But if you write usual and reasonable, usual, customary, and reasonable, any of that kind of work, those three words, any of those, usual and reasonable, very important, customary, very, you know, those three words, usual, reasonable, and customary, or usual and reasonable, do that. Now they've signed it, and you've signed it, but you put reasonable, usual, and reasonable, and they've agreed to it since you wrote it on the form, and their signature's on it. They've agreed to it. Protect yourself from overcharges.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to test that out. My wife's going to have surgery here in next.
You're going to have to sign the document.
Yeah.
But so. Usual, URNC, usual, reasonable, customary, just put reasonable, just on that form right where you're signing, usual, reasonable, customary. If the guy, what are you writing? You're going to say, oh, I know, I just know that I need to pay the reasonable cost for this procedure. Don't you think that's okay? Sure, that's all right. See, you'll be happy.
Very, very good. Man, I'll tell you what, it pays to know things like that. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. By the way, you want to know stuff like that? Well, let me show you. Bathroom economics. I do read, folks, contrary to what people, I do read. Okay. One book I haven't mentioned, Easily Understood Economics, on the back here, economics is not a difficult subject, but has been presented that way to attempt to keep us in the dark about what's happening to us in our society. Great book. Constitution, if you can keep it, Saving the Constitution. Folks, hey, buy one, get the other half off. That's until the 10th, right?
Yes, it's till the 10th.
All right.
One saving, another saving for half price.
All right. And by the way, folks, if you're out there watching this, if you go to ProvisInstitute.com, you can find the telephone number to take advantage of the savings. You've got to call them, call Richard Proctor.
And, yeah, you got to do it. It's got to be on the phone. Can't be done on the internet. Has to be done on the phone.
Okay. And that way,
I get to talk to a lot of people.
You get the pleasure of speaking to Richard Proctor, which is really good, or one of his vast number of employees, right? I'm kidding, of course.
Yeah, one of the vast. We got about 40 people working here, so you may have to speak to one of them. If they're all busy, I'll answer.
Yeah, your imaginary workforce, but
yes.
Okay. Well, you know what?
You look at this room. Look at this room I sit in. Of course, I've got. You know, you just can't see what's behind me. All the 40 people are behind me.
You know, I got to tell you something. I've seen some videos posted on social media. There are obviously green screened in, and certain things. And people fell for that. So, but by you saying that, you're going to have people saying, my gosh, his house is really nice. But so I just can't believe some people,
I have a good time with this. I have a good time. Yes.
Yeah.
Way you can tell that it's an actual shot is you can watch the trees wave in the breeze behind us or not.
Or not.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the White House, you know, that fake stage at the executive office building across the street or wherever that is, the fake stage. It's just incredible. Fake resident, White House resident, or fake regime, a fake stage. It's fun, isn't it? Yeah, it is.
By the way, I want to mention something about sure. One more thing about value of homes and property tax. I want to mention something that's important about that. I didn't bring this up last week when I was talking about it, and recently I've realized that it needed to be done because everybody's not going to agree with me what I'm talking about evaluation of homes. Now, I made a terrible mistake once not too long ago, and it cost me a lot of money, but I did it. I did it on purpose, and I didn't know I was doing it, but it still happened. I build a home, okay? I build a very nice home. The house itself, underground home, 800 grand, okay? The grounds, everything completed, the whole thing, was $2.5 million, okay? All right. What's the property tax? I bought the ground for $10,000. What's the property tax? Is it $10,000? Because that's the last time I purchased anything? Or is it $10,000 plus $2.5 million? What's the value of the home? The people that are guessing will say it's $2.5 million. I got divorced from the young lady I was married to at the time, and she took the house and I took the business.
And the chef, and got the chef too, right? But I digress. Go ahead.
She took the house and I got the business. When she sold the house, she got $600,000. Where's the value of the home? $10,000, $600,000, or $2.5 million? Now, if you can answer that easily, you've got a better handle on this stuff than any appraiser does. You see, there were no comparables to this home around the neighborhood. None. Okay? None. And the yard, I had 1¾ acres. Man, I had ponds and streams, all kinds of stuff. I had gardens, everything that you'd want to have. Sprinkling systems, pumping. I couldn't get enough water from the city to do everything we needed. And I had a well, so I took this well and I filled up the tank so I could water the grass and water to keep the streams. And I had nearly 100,000 gallons of water stored down in the lower part that I pumped out to do the streams and the ponds and the sprinkling system. 100,000 gallons of water. Took that much for the thing to be working properly as it would go through. We didn't know it to begin with, so we learned. So we had to put in 5 20,000 gallon tanks. Okay, you could get down inside those and stand up. We did. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, where's the value of the home? Where's the property tax value? $2.5 million or $600,000? Or $10,000?
I don't know. I mean, based on how you asked that question, I don't know. In the remaining few
minutes. And you know what? I don't remember either. I do not remember either. I had the dollars. I paid whatever they asked. But I'll bet that they did it on the cost of the building, $2.5 million.
Well, that's the way they do it now, at least where I'm at. You know, you could buy a plot of land, put a house on it. If you own that land, you know, without the dwelling, they assess the land and then you pay property tax on the assessment. Once it's developed, then it's the house and the land, or the building and the land.
Yeah, but the assessment, see, is all just a fiction. It's just a fiction sentence.
Yeah.
Okay, it's just fiction. There's no value in an assessment. The value is what you paid for it. If you paid $90 an acre for it, and you have 2 acres, and it's $180, that's the real value of your land until it's sold. And when it's sold, then you establish the new value.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
The last sale, if you refinance, that'll be the value of it. You see, there are places the value can be determined. Anytime the item sells or changes hands or in any way, take a new loan out, anything, there's a new value established. But if you never do that, the ground I had was 10 grand. When I built the house, the ground was rated more like 30,000. It was an acre and three quarters, like 30,000. Mm-hmm. When we built the house cost the environment cost $2.5 million. Okay? The home was 800,000. They do not give you credit on any of your sale. If you're going to sell a home, they don't give you credit for the barn in the backyard. They don't give you credit for the bonds. They don't give you credit for anything except the value of the house. What's the value of the house? $800,000. No, it's not what they do. That's not what they did.
Well, I got to cut you off right there. We're at the end of the end of the program. Very interesting. And folks, when you think about this, you got so much to learn. Bathroom economics, easily understood economics. I'll tell you what, just go to provisinstitute.com. Folks, please do that and take advantage of Richard Proctor's fine offer. Good for only the next 9 days.
Right. Just
buy one and get one a half off.
On the 11th, it changes.
That's right. So do it now because you can't beat that deal with a stick. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Thank you so much for spending your time with me today. God bless you. See you next week.
Been good.
All right.
You bet.
Folks, that'll do it. Have a great night.